Blog Talk Radio.
Think. Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, business, financial, entertainment, and networking needs. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com, where your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Without further ado, let's get this big thinking interview started.
Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. And again, we are bringing you some excellent content. We have Maria Marsala from www.elevatingyourbusiness.com with us tonight, and she's going to share some very life-changing principles that not only are going to benefit you, but also benefit your business. Maria, are you there?
Yep, I am here. Glad to be here.
I am glad to have you on. We've been trying to get you on for a while now, and with our schedules, we're just thankful that you're able to come and share your extensive knowledge and business with our listeners. Before we get this interview started, though, we'd like to let everyone know how they can reach you.
That's real easy. ElevatingYourBusiness.com. I've got a contact link on the top of the page, in the middle of the page, and on the right side of the page. There is my phone number, my email address, and anything else you want to know about me but would afraid to ask.
Okay. So why don't you start off just telling us a little bit about yourself. You know, where did you grow up? You got a large or small family? Just, you know, so our listeners will get a kind of feel for you.
Sure. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in a neighborhood that's called Bensonhurst. That's the neighborhood. I was the oldest of five, and where I grew up, you knew what neighborhood you were living in by the parish church you went to.
Oh, okay.
And so it was, very Catholic area, and I went to 13 years of Catholic school.
Okay, so after you grew up and you decided that you didn't have to watch your younger siblings anymore, what was it that you decided to do?
Well, at 17, I got my first job on Wall Street, and 6 months later, I got married, and then a few years later, I got divorced, not too many. So by the time I was 21, I was on Wall Street and divorced, and from a bad situation with nowadays, they call it domestic abuse. Back then, they just kind of blamed the women for it, but
wow.
So it wasn't a pretty picture. But it made me stronger, and it made me want to succeed even more.
Okay. Now I know that we're just starting this interview, but every now and then we have a caller who may have reviewed your site and checked out a couple of things, and sometimes these callers may want to ask a couple of questions, or they just want to continue to listen to the interview. So I'm going to check with this caller from the 336 area code. Caller,
okay.
If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you can do so, but please state your name and where you're from. Caller from the 336 area code, you're online.
Yes, my name is Felton Wooten. I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay. Did you have a question or comment, or you just wanted to listen online while you were in your commute, I guess, to the interview?
Yes, I'll just listen for now.
Okay, well, I'll just put you off air, and then later on, maybe if I think you have a question, I'll put you back on.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you first believed that you could accomplish a part of your life mission, What factors came into play?
I think surviving a divorce at that age and being on my own really made me realize that I could do what it was I wanted to do, whatever that could be. I didn't grow up having a lot of support for being who I was. And I had some support from an aunt and some teachers and stuff like that. But I'm kind of the odd folk in my family, the rebel, the rebel, as they say. You know, and us rebels, you know, we lived an interesting life growing up. And so I think that the big thing that I know pushed me was that I was going to make it on my own, and I was going to prove to my ex-husband and myself and everybody else that although I was divorced, I was not a failure.
Wow. And I guess not wanting you to reveal your age, but I take it you were 21 a few years ago. And back then, I guess divorce was something that was really looked down upon. You had all of those stigmas that you had to work through, you know, as you were beginning to, you know, come into your own.
Oh, definitely. There was so many different things. I was the first person in my family to be divorced.
Wow.
And so that came with that. Then being Italian, you don't get divorced. And I married the grandson of the people that lived next door to me, and when they found out I was divorcing their grandson, they threw me out of their house.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not a pretty picture. You know, it was very strict upbringing. You know, I lived down in North Carolina for a while and a few years ago, and it was interesting because the upbringing I had living in New York in the 70s, 60s and 70s, you know, is very similar to what is, you know, goes on in North Carolina. But it's just, you know, it's just not something that happens. And if it happens, it happens to somebody else. And it's, you know, it doesn't bring a lot of good feelings with it. So I was going to fight it all, and I did.
Great. Now, when did your passion start evolving for the business that you're involved in now? I mean, what was it that, you know, one day you looked up and said, you know, I like this, what I'm doing?
Right. I planned what I'm doing now.
Okay.
What I didn't plan was I didn't plan being a trader on Wall Street.
Oh, okay.
When I got out of school, I had no idea what I wanted to be. And I really, you know, thought I was going to be a wife and a mom. And so, you know, I was just looking for a job for a few months and, you know, until I got married and, you know, et cetera. Well, when the marriage didn't work out, I went back to Wall Street and said, okay, you know, this is the first stop on a train in Manhattan, so it's as close to home as I could get,
okay,
the least amount of traveling, and let me try this out. And it ended up that I started out as a clerk, kind of putting things together, you know, pieces of paper together. And, of course, we have somebody's alarm went off outside, but putting pieces of paper together, and I ended up having all this free time during the day that the person who used to have the job did not have. And so I got more involved in what the traders did, and I would sit at their desk when I, you know, had nothing to do, and have, you know, answer the phones and go for coffee, whatever they needed to keep myself busy. And then one day I went into work, and one of the guys said to me, because they were all guys, and one of the guys said to me, you know, they're fighting about you. And I said, what do you mean they're fighting about you, me? And he says, well, the corporate bond department wants you to work for them, and our department wants you to work for us. And I, you know, said, well, this is my life, and I'm going to decide where I'm going to be working. And I mean, I still can't believe I did this at 19, you know, go into a like the head boss of the department and say to him, doesn't it matter what I want? And he just said, yes, would you come in and sit down and let's talk? And meanwhile, I'm shaking, you know, I mean, this is like one of the head bosses, you know. And we had a conversation, and he said, you know, where do you want to work? And I said, I'd rather work in the municipal bond department because I love history and geography. And there's a lot of history and geography in municipal bonds. And he said, okay. He said, you'll start on Monday. And I just, you know, I still couldn't believe it. Like, I had to pinch myself until it changed. But, yeah, that's that all came about because I did more than I needed to. And because I cared about what I was doing, you know, and caught mistakes before they went through the system, which saved the company money. And when you do those kinds of things in corporate America, they do notice you. And so that was a big piece of my life, was trading and operations and organization and management and, you know, helping start new departments and fixing things up. And when I got into a car accident in 1994, and basically was told, you know, you're not going to be able to do that kind of stuff anymore, it was pretty devastating. I mean, I spent six months not being able to walk very well. And then, you know, said, then, you know, the doctors are saying, well, you know, you didn't break anything, but you did worse than that. You know, you tore, you know, most of what you could tear. And, you know, they didn't have any good feelings on how I was going to live. And I just said, well, I'm not going on government assistance, and I'm going to have to figure out something else to do.
Wow.
And that's when I got involved in... you know, reading the What Color Is Your Parachute and The Artist's Way. And I went for some skills testing. And then I did something that I have a lot of my clients who don't know what they want to be the next time they grow up. I have them do a life resume.
The next time they grow up.
Yeah, the next time they grow up, yeah. I have them create a life resume. So my life resume started from the minute I could remember first volunteering as a kid, and that was when I was about 10 years old. And I created a volunteer resume and then a work resume. But here's the thing that's different from any other resume that you may have seen. I took away the names of the companies and the titles after I wrote them. You know, after I got everything ready, because when you take away the titles that you had and the name of the companies that you worked for, you're left with your skills. And
wow.
So the next thing was I took out everything that I didn't like doing. And so that made the, you know, that made the resumes go down a bit. But then what you start seeing is you start seeing patterns. Things you really enjoy doing, whether you got paid for it, whether it was your job or it wasn't your job. So like on Wall Street, it wasn't my job to go train the salesmen and write articles about, you know, about different securities so that they could sell them better and, you know, do all that other stuff. But I always did that stuff.
Okay. So you were even part in teaching and coaching even at that young age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my first volunteer position was that not only did I give up 3 days during the summer, 3 days a week during the summer, and I'm a beach bum, so that's a lot of days for a beach bum. I got up early during the summer on those 3 days, and I taught first graders reading skills so that they could get into the second grade if they didn't make it, you know, over the summer time, they were not going to get passed into the second grade. So I started teaching very early. The thing is, I hate school.
You
You know, I'm more of a teach a person skills they're going to use in 15 minutes, you know. And I think that's where I carry that into my business.
Now, in your business, when you were going from trading and you went into the operations and administration, what do you think were the most important lessons that you learned from that?
Never switch major departments in the same company you've been working in if you're taking what other people look at as a backwards step on the ladder.
Wow.
Is a real big one. I mean, I went from trading into operations, and I specifically asked for the transfer. I wasn't in any kind of trouble or anything. In fact, the first time I went to the operations manager, he said, he asked me if I was doing drugs, and then he said to me, come back in 3 months. If you're still on this kick, we'll talk. I don't know what I'll do with you, but come back in 3 months. And I know he did not expect to see me in 3 months. But I not only went back into him, I told him what I thought I could do for the company, and I never took a pay cut. So, I mean, that was the good side, because I had somebody who supported me well in the department I was moving in, and that was not the problem. The head people supported me 100%. It was the managers and the staff people who, no matter how many times I told them I didn't get in any kind of trouble, that, you know, I didn't get a demotion or something, they just couldn't understand that somebody could actually like what they were doing and wanted to just change. So I tell people, if they're going to make a major change in their career, and it's, you know, one from, you know, being almost, you know, three people removed from the top of the company to going into a lesser position to change companies and do it there, because people-wise, I think there was just too much nonsense going on and too much talk that that I couldn't stop from happening. But you'd have to follow your dreams. I mean, if I had to do it again, I would still make the change. I would just go to a different company and do it.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Maria, can you please get out your contact information again so that everyone will know how to reach you?
Sure. I'll give my website is elevatingyourbusiness.com, and if that's a little too long, just go to coachmaria.com. That's a little shorter and easier to remember, so it's coachmaria.com. My contact information is on my site, but I'll give you my phone number. It's 425-440-9659.
Okay, now how did you turn your passion into a workable business?
I did that resume, I came down to 15 different skills that no matter where in my life, whether it was helping my siblings or volunteering or getting paid, things I enjoyed doing. I remember some of them were I loved designing forms. I loved making things more organized. I loved creating written systems. I'm a planner and enjoyed creating goals and then setting up action steps to create those goals. I enjoyed speaking and teaching. In fact, if there's anybody else listening to this call that ever got in trouble and ended up in the back of the classroom as a kid because they talk too much, you'll probably make a really good speaker. You know, and I tell people sometimes, what did you get in trouble with, you know, trouble for as a kid? And they said, what does that have to do with what I want to be? I says, oh, maybe it has something to do with it. But I just created the list, and then I tried finding a job that had all of those, all the things I enjoyed doing. You know, like I enjoy one-on-one work mostly with people instead of major groups. And one day, I was living down in North Carolina. I had just ordered the New York Times. And that Sunday, I opened up the New York Times, and there was an article in there about Thomas Leonard, who was kind of the founder of the of coaching as we know it. And I said, that's what I want to do. So it pays to read the newspaper.
Now, when you decided to, you know, step off on your own business, what did you view as a challenge?
Everything. Oh, goodness. I had all the normal things that people say to themselves. Am I out of my mind? I don't have enough money. How am I going to do this? I've never run a business before. Everything you could imagine I thought of on the negative side. And I think that the main thing that was, you know, keeping me going on the positive side was that, you know, I had some successes in my life, and I knew that I was flexible, that if, you know, I started going in a direction and it wasn't working, that I would find something. There had to be something there for me to do.
So what would you say the biggest advice or quality that you could share with our audience that, you know, helped you the most through this time?
Never give up on yourself. You know, if something's not working, see if you can take out the pieces that are working and change it into something else. You know, don't, if you don't have the support of your family or friends, don't worry about it. I mean, they care about you, and they, you know, don't want you to probably take, you know, risks and stuff like that. But if you really want to do something, find a way to do it. Even if you've got to get a part-time job while you're building your business, you know, I've got plenty of clients do that type of thing. And don't look to make business harder than it is. I mean, I think that's one of the big mistakes that I made. You know, part of it is that I come from a family where, you know, my parents and stuff went through the Depression, and, you know, working 18, 20-hour days was a norm on both sides of my family. And one of the things that happened to me was that my life coaching business wasn't doing well, and I did a one-page business plan and came up with great ideas, but I realized that it wasn't going to work. And I was willing to, you know, be flexible and find a way to do the coaching that I love in a way that was easy for me.
Okay.
So business doesn't have to be, you know, 18 hours, you know, with the hammer all the time, pounding yourself. You could actually be in business and have great clients and love what you're doing.
You know, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because in the past, trying to reach you, I noticed something that I don't really notice from a lot of the guests that come on. You don't necessarily work a 5-day work week. How did
No.
you manage to pull that off and still be successful?
Well, I was working a 5 or 6 day work week, and what I was finding was that I was going along with my, you know, the schedule my clients wanted to be on. And there would be long periods of time during the week that I wouldn't have clients, but I really couldn't do very much of anything, you know, networking or speaking or whatever. And one day I just said, you know, this is too hard this way. There's got to be, you know, a better way. And there's also got to be a better way where my clients will know where I'm at, you know, on specific days. And what I did was I told all my clients I'm moving everybody over to Monday and Tuesday. I will work long hours, which helps the moms and dads at night that want to put the kids to sleep and get their one-on-one coaching, so I work long hours Mondays and Tuesdays. And then usually Wednesdays and Thursdays I'm, you know, on the road or speaking or networking or going to an event. And Friday, you'll see I have no hours on my website, but I do my administrative work on Fridays.
Okay, so you do take a day. That's just your business, and you know, I really like and understand that, because so many people are so busy working on their business that they don't have actual time to work on their business.
Yeah, and you have to. You really have to. So Thursday and Wednesday and Thursdays, I don't work full days. You know, to kind of make up for the time on Mondays and Tuesdays I am working. So I do work a full week. I just have hours that work for me and work for my clients. When I went and moved everybody over, there was only one client that didn't move over. And, you know, meanwhile, I was a nervous wreck asking them, you know, if they had time on Monday and Tuesday and if we could move everything on to Monday and Tuesdays.
Now, knowing that a lot of your clients are business owners and CEOs looking to, you know, take their business to the next level, what would you say is the biggest reason a person should perhaps go into their own business?
There are those of us who make lousy employees. Definitely go into business for yourself. Because those of us who make lousy employees usually do so because, you know, we have the initiative and we have that rebel streak, and usually we want to fix things. And not all companies appreciate those of us who like fixing things.
I am smiling ear to ear because that just hits it so right on the nail's head. Because a lot of times you can go into an organization and just see something that's just so wrong and how they're losing money, and then just to bring it up is just like, are you trying to lose money?
Yeah, you scratch your head as an employee wondering. And if you're in a good company, see, I was lucky. I don't know if it was that I was lucky or because I was at one point the only female in a trading room, they may not have fully known what to do with me. But I got to fix a lot of things, you know, from, you know, organizing files to creating new ticket systems for the trades that we wrote that, you know, made me write on the piece of paper less information because the information was now there on the form. You know, all that stuff, I was able to really do that. But there did become a time when I was given a boss, when I was in operations and I had that wonderful boss. And then I was given to his he left, and then I had to deal with his cohort, who just was awful, just an awful person. And, you know, one of the things that, to me, makes me consider him awful as a boss is that he didn't have that quality, you know, that would allow me to just fix something because it wasn't working right. You know, there are people in this world who don't want to, you know, who want to have departments of 100 employees because it makes them look bigger as a boss.
Right.
And then there are other people in the world who, you know, they're real happy with a nice, lean force, you know, employees. Well, when you're given someone who likes to have lots of employees, they don't like fixing a lot.
So what would you say, if you had 5 minutes to give the key to business success, what step-by-step method would you share with our listeners?
Read the E-Myth Revisited. Don't stop till you're done with the book. go through the parts that are boring as heck because it is worth.
What's the name of that book again?
The E Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The second thing I have everyone do is to create a one-page business plan. And that's a book and a program. I do it online, so it's a program, but people listening can buy the book from Amazon. There's a book for consultants, there's a book for financial professionals, there's a book for entrepreneurs. Create an ideal client profile. It's not about who could be a client. It's who's your best client. Who's the person that's going to pay you the most amount of money in the least amount of time and value what you do, not ask for discounts and refer you to other people without you asking? I mean, that's the basis of who an ideal client is. Because that's the person you're going to want to market to. You're not going to want to market to the whole world. I don't market to every business owner that's out there.
All right.
I market to service businesses. I happen to get clients outside of the service industry, but all my marketing goes to service business owners. You know, who have been in business 4 years or more. I mean, I've got a profile because that profile is a key, I think, to most. You'll hear most business owners say how busy they are marketing, but they're not getting the kind of clients that they really want. Well, there's two reasons that I have found, and one is they don't have an ideal client profile, and they don't have a business plan. And they don't need a 40-page business plan. They just need the basics.
Right.
And most people price themselves too low.
Oh.
I just told somebody yesterday, somebody asked me, you know, what should they do now, you know, with the down economy? And I said, raise your prices. And they said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you tell me what you make per hour, and you should be making double that.
Yeah.
So even in a down economy, there's a good chance that a lot of people listening to this are underpaid. And so I work with my clients on coming up with a pricing process, a pricing model, and then a marketing funnel.
Okay.
And the last piece would be an elevator speech. I call it a business snapshot because living in near Seattle now, there's not a lot of tall buildings. But you need to be able to tell people when you go to an event what you do in a way that they're going to pay attention to you and not turn you off.
Okay.
And in order to do that, you need to keep the customer in mind. So it's all about the customer. So when I go to a networking event, and I am introducing myself, I don't say that I'm a business remodeler or a business coach or whatever else. You know, I tell people that I help high-achieving professional service business to increase their company's profitability and performance. You know, my thing is I like to help my clients double their income. That will get me listened to. If I say that I'm a business coach, right away I get turned off. So it's always got to be about the benefits of what you do to the possible prospects and clients and who are in the room. Should I make it in 5 minutes?
I guess. I didn't look at the time. But this is just part of that question. But, yeah, I think you hit under 5 minutes. You were right to the point. And everything sounds, let's say, smart.
It's business fundamentals, whether you are a real estate investor or a graphic designer or you own a $20 million company. The people that I have worked with who fall into those realms all basically redo those same pieces.
Wow.
That's the start. Those are fundamentals in business. And maybe they had been done in the past, but they weren't done my way. So I teach them my way.
Okay. Now, did you try any creative marketing techniques when you went to build your brand? What were some of the key things that you looked
like,
for?
Give me a for example.
Well, a lot of people have these different Facebook-type profiles now for their business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you try to do any of that, or did you, like, do a mailing or hire somebody to put on a suit, wave a flag with your website on it?
When I first went into business?
For your business now, for elevating your business.
For the business I have now, it was really a name change from Coach Maria to Elevating Your Business. I mean, that was something I did, and I did it because I created a process called EduCoaching. I find that most people don't need just coaching. They need the consulting and training piece. And it starts with the coaching, but then it kind of goes into the other pieces. And so the Coach Maria website wasn't a good enough brand. It is a good brand, but it wasn't good enough to describe what I do.
Okay.
And so I changed my company name. 2 years ago, I paid a designer to really create a brand for me. In fact, I've been at networking events, and somebody has seen my name tag and didn't realize that I lived in this area, but were on my newsletter list.
Okay.
But because my brand goes across from, you know, it's an integrated marketing. It's my brand is on my website. It's on my literature. It's even in the clothes I wear and the colors I wear when I do business stuff. But I am on social networks. I mean, one of my most recent clients came to me through LinkedIn.
Oh, okay, right. LinkedIn, that's a good one.
So, you know, LinkedIn to me is for higher level business owners. They're a bit more serious as a whole, not all of them, but they're a bit more serious in growing their what I call mini empires. And there's executives on LinkedIn who I also have worked with. I've worked with executive teams. And so that made a lot of sense for me to spend time on LinkedIn.
Right. And I know they have members from all across the world, let alone just the United States.
Correct. And I'm on Facebook, but I'm not sure how well, for my business, that's working out. And again, if you know who your ideal client is, you can test out some of what, it, you know, may be new ways of marketing to you and see if things work. Twitter has worked better for me than Facebook.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I have a
Twitter profile that we just actually started using. recently. And
you know, I was all in shock when I went to my Twitter and 9 people were following me. You know, it was, I can't believe I got people following me on Twitter. And now I'm up to, you know, close to 400.
Wow.
So you try things. I mean, that's a big thing in business is don't be afraid to try something. But if, you know, but you have to monitor it. You know, like I said, I don't spend an awful lot of time on Facebook because I have spent time on it in the past, and it wasn't fruitful enough.
Right. I understand that. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Maria, can you please get out your contact information again?
Sure. It's I'm going to give it easy way. CoachMaria.com, and the phone number is 425-440-9673. 5-9.
You know, when we first started our show, we used to do 30 minutes, and 30 minutes just wasn't enough time. And every now and then we have guests who come on with just such infinite knowledge about their industry and how to assist others that sometimes 45 minutes isn't even enough time. We don't want to really go up to an hour, but it looks like in the future we may have to do that. We're down to our last few minutes, and I'd just like to know, is there anything you would like to cover that we may have not touched upon? Like, you know, maybe something that someone that no one really knows about you, like a hobby or something like that.
Well, I'm a gardener, and I've been playing around with computers since 1973, so I know a little bit about computers. But I think that if I wanted to leave people with something, it's to remember that even the gurus on the internet who are making beaucoup amount of money, they integrate their marketing, meaning they've got some marketing on the internet, they've got some marketing in person. You know, I know some, I've met way too many people that think that they're going to become multimillionaires just by marketing on the internet, and it really is about an integrated marketing approach. You know, if you write articles and you put them on the internet, make copies of those articles and bring them to events that you, networking events. And when you go around the table, instead of giving your business card, give an article, you'll be remembered better.
Wow. That was a great piece of advice. And do you want to just give us a couple of books or training resources you suggest that may have helped you move to your next level? I know you've been giving us a few books over the course of this interview, but let's just kind of wrap it up with that.
Yeah, I mentioned the E-Myth Revisited. I like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Because of the concept about looking at business as something that you is an investment that you sell. I've got a whole bunch of books that I recommend on my website. If you click on, if you go to elevatingyourbusiness.com and click on free stuff, you'll see my book recommendations and podcasts and stuff on the right side of the page. And then there's books that, you know, my own books. I've written books on the whole ideal client profile process. You know, it's a six-step process that my clients go through and really changes the way they look at their business and the way they spend their time. I've got a pricing CD that also has a workbook in it too, that will help people to earn what they deserve.
Great. You've just heard Maria Marsala, www.elevatingyourbusiness.com, also www.coachmaria.com, a business coach that thinks outside of the box. She broke the glass ceiling on Wall Street at a mere 21 years old and has an international following of business leaders, masterminds, and apprentices. I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight, Thinking Big, with www.thinkbigradio.com, and we look forward to having you come back again and calling in and just listening to the interviews after they've been archived. Thanks again, Big Thinkers, and Maria, we really like to thank you for coming out and doing your thing.
Anytime. Had a great time.
Think big, everyone.